Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The word of God for our study this morning is Matthew's account of Jesus' resurrection recorded in Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is the gospel of the Lord. You know, with all this beautiful Easter music this week, you would think that the earworm that stuck in my head this past week would be an Easter song, but it's actually a Christmas song. It's part of Mary's song that she sang when her heart was just filled with joy because she was celebrating with her cousin Elizabeth that she was going to be the mother of her Lord and Savior. These words have been just going through my head over and over again. "He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty." Maybe not exactly a catchy tune, but it sure sticks in my head. And the reason why I think about that is on that day when Mary sang that song, she was absolutely full. She was so excited to be the mother of her Savior. But imagine what it was like for Mary on that Saturday between the day her son died and Easter morning. No mother should have to survive her son. And then to see her son die such a horrible death, I have to think that as full as she was on that day, as she celebrated with Elizabeth, she is empty after she sees her son die. And just as Mary was empty, so the women who came out to the tomb were empty. Would there be any life worth living after Jesus had died? They came out empty to mourn. Now contrast that with the chief priests that we heard about in the gospel. The chief priests were absolutely full. The chief priests were, first of all, wealthy beyond the wildest imagination of most people of that day. The chief priests enjoyed a time of incredible power and authority. And on top of that, they had just finally gotten rid of this thorn in the flesh called Jesus. We don't see them going out to the tomb in sadness. They are filled to the full. They are so full of themselves that even when the message comes to them that the tomb is empty, they are bound and determined to make sure that no one else hears about that message. Because they're full. So, which one are you? Are you empty? Or are you full? Many of you are here empty. You come like the family that I visited yesterday as in my role as a police chaplain. I had to visit a family here in Muskego whose mother, wife never woke up yesterday morning. They're empty. You know, there's this empty stare on her husband's face. Some of you are empty like that. This is the first Easter that you are experiencing without somebody that you love. Some of you are empty because you've just heard some bad news. Maybe it's medical bad news, maybe it's financial bad news, and you just come defeated and empty. Some of you are here empty because your dream of what your life was going to be like, whether it be a married life or a single life, your dream of what your life was going to be like has not come true, and there's just this emptiness, and you come here this morning empty. And if that's true of you, welcome to the empty tomb. This is a good place for you to be, to come empty. Some of us are full. For some of you today, you know, everything's going great in your life. Your life is just so full that it's hard even to get some Jesus into that full life because you've got everything you need right now. Maybe you're here in this tomb of the church just because this is a requirement as a family member or just somehow, okay, I have to check this off as a churchgoer that I'm here on Easter, you know, because you're just full and there isn't that sense of emptiness. You know, and if that's true of you, I want to let you know, I am so glad you're here. Because the empty tomb is a great place for people to come when they're full too. But I'll be honest, I am praying that if you are full, that you have a Jonah experience. You see, I love Jonah because Jonah had the same job as I do. He was a preacher. And you think, if anybody approaches the empty tomb with a right spirit, what would be a preacher? But in the book of Jonah, Jonah is so full of himself that he knows better than God. When God tells the prophet Jonah, this preacher, go and preach to Nineveh, Jonah knows better than God, and so he goes off in the opposite direction and goes as far as he can to the other side of the world because he is full. You see, pastors can be full too. We all can be. And so I pray that God sends us Jonah experiences. Jonah was full of himself, but the Lord still loved Jonah, and so the Lord provided a storm to come on the sea The Lord led the sailors to pitch Jonah off the boat. The Lord provided a big fish to swallow Jonah. Now, some of you who are full of yourselves right now will be going, wait a second. I don't think that any big fish can swallow somebody and he can stay alive in 3 days. You know, and I get that. That is really sounds like a crazy story. But I would just ask you, if you're going, you know, I don't know if that's true, just bear with me for a little bit. I'll explain why I believe that Jonah really was swallowed by a big fish and stayed in that belly of the fish for 3 days. I'll explain that in a little bit. But just right now, just bear with me. But he's swallowed by this fish, and it's when he's in the belly of the fish that suddenly he becomes empty. Why is it that the Lord sends storms in our lives, in the lives of pastors too? Because by nature, we are plenty full. And so the Lord sends these storms to humble us so that we can come to the tomb empty. And we're all welcome at that empty tomb. And the good news I want to share with you today is that you will find that tomb empty. Now, you can go to the tomb in Jerusalem and find it empty today. I've been there. But that doesn't make a whole lot of difference, does it? The key thing is, was that tomb empty on Easter morning? You see, if the tomb wasn't empty, if we come to that tomb, whether we be full or empty, if we come to that tomb and we don't recognize it as empty, then we're just wasting our time because we might as well just try to fill up our lives as much as we can, eat, drink, and be merry, because someday we're going to die, so let's just make the most of our lives as we can. Let's just try to fill our lives if the tomb isn't empty on Easter morning. This is what it's all about. And so, how do we know that the tomb was empty? The only way you know anything about history is because witnesses tell you about that history. And that's why the gospel writers, first of all, mention the women. You know, the women were the eyewitnesses to Jesus' death and burial. They were there as they saw Jesus' dead body being taken down from the cross. They saw Jesus buried. And so they saw him alive again, the first witnesses. And it's interesting that the different gospel writers mention different women by name. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and then it just says, and other women. Why is it, do you suppose, that the gospel writers mention these different women? Don't you suppose it's because each one of these gospel writers had the opportunity to talk to the witnesses, and they knew Salome or Joanna or Mary Magdalene, or Mary the mother of James, personally. And maybe that the original readers of this gospel would have known these women personally. They had heard the witnesses and they recorded it. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty, just as God had foretold. It is amazing that the angels have to tell the women, you know, it's empty just as he said. He is risen just as he said. The disciples didn't get it. The Old Testament had foretold that he would rise from the dead. In Isaiah 53, it says, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. The Old Testament testifies and prophesies he is going to rise from the dead after he suffers and dies. But the apostles didn't get that. In John's gospel, it says that they still didn't understand. It was only after the fact they looked through the prophecies and recognized this happened just as our God foretold. Jesus said it too, just as he said over and over again. When Jesus talks about the end of the world, about his suffering and death, when he talks about his suffering and death, he says, I'm going to be delivered over to the Gentiles and spit upon and crucified. And you know how it always ends. Every time he talks about his suffering and death, you know how he always ended it? And on the third day he will rise again. And the disciples didn't get it because they knew nobody rises from the dead. And so they didn't understand it. It was only after the fact that, oh, it's just as God had foretold. The tomb is empty because God had foretold it. And the tomb is empty as it's confessed by the condemned. You know, how do we know that the witnesses of the resurrection are reliable? That's a key question, right? Well, these people confessed to Jesus being dead and alive again and were willing to put their lives on the line. As you read through the book of Acts, you see James, the first apostle who suffers a martyr's death. He is put to death by King Herod. Why? Because he said Jesus is dead and he's alive again. Shortly after that, Peter is arrested. He's going to be put to death. He could have easily gotten out of prison. He was condemned to the sentence of death, and he didn't say, oh, I just made it up. This was a cleverly invented story. No, he is willing to die because he testifies the one who was dead is alive again. Paul, the same way. Read through the book of Acts. See how often Paul is beaten and imprisoned. Why? Ultimately, it's because he said, I have seen the one who is dead, and he is alive. You see, these witnesses were not just making up stories. It wasn't just what they heard somebody else say. They saw it for themselves, and they couldn't deny what they had seen, even though it was unbelievable. The dead was alive. And why do I make such a big deal of this? Because I have to stand in front of a family like I did yesterday morning and say, you know, your mom, she believed in Jesus and she's okay right now. She is with our Savior in heaven, and her body that's lying on the living room floor is gonna rise from the dead. How do I know that? I have to go back and I cross-examine the witnesses. This is not just an exercise this is just what we do at Easter. This is what our faith is all about. Go back, cross-examine the witnesses. This is true. And if this is true, then everything else is true. You see, this is why I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. I don't know how Jonah could be swallowed by a big fish. I don't know how he could stay alive. I don't have to. All I know is I have a God who said he was gonna die and rise again, and he did. And if he can do that, he can make Jonah be swallowed by a big fish and stay alive. He can create the world in 6 days, and he can care about every little thing about my life and your life. You see, all of God's promises are true if it's really true that the tomb is empty. Now, some of you might be going, yeah, but it's only here that it talks about these witnesses. And this is where I would encourage you to spend some time, you know, in what I would call the chain of custody study, to understand how did this book get to us. In fact, this is one of the lessons that we use in the Following the Promise Bible study that we'll be starting in May. You can mark your interest on the connection card. But if you do the study, you realize not only did God have the condemned confess that Jesus is risen, but then he carefully preserved their confession so that we know that this is a reliable witness to what they saw. And if Jesus has risen from the dead, then we go away from the tomb full. Now that's really what our whole next series is about. I am so looking forward to this Easter season as we see how the empty tomb fills the emptiness in our lives. On the back of the worship folder, that's where we just list the, you know, what's coming up on the My Next Steps. I invite you to come on back and let's just see. If it's really true that the tomb is empty, then our hearts that sometimes are just filled with emptiness and hopelessness, it can be, that heart can be filled. When we just feel like our lives are this monotonous humdrum, that our lives can be filled. And that if our homes aren't what we had dreamed of, that we have a promise of a home that will be filled and that we can look forward to. I look forward to studying that, thinking that through, and sharing that with God's people in the next month. But right now, I just want to just real briefly say, the tomb is empty, and you and I can leave here full. We can leave, first of all, full of the Lord's companionship. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." If it's true that Jesus has risen from the dead, then he is able to fulfill his promise that he is with us. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what this week is going to bring. But I know that every one of us who trusts in this Savior, whose tomb is empty, will never face whatever we're looking at alone. God promised over and over again, "I am with you." The empty tomb is the guarantee of our Savior's companionship. The empty tomb is a guarantee of our Savior's promises. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." If he has all power on heaven and earth, then he has the ability to keep all of his promises, especially that promise that we who have to admit that we have failed him over and over again, that we have come to him full and have sinned against him because of our own personal fullness, that we have a Savior who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. And we leave the tomb full of Jesus' life. Jesus said, "Because I live, you also shall live." Because Jesus lives, you and I are going to live forever. Because Jesus lives, our bodies are going to come forth in the grave. Because Jesus lives, because the tomb is empty, you and I are full of his life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm getting hungry. Anybody else? Now, there is this temptation, you know, especially, I've got to preach two more times. So by the time I get done this morning, I'm going to be ravenously hungry. And my temptation will be to walk into my house and just start nibbling, right? But if I start nibbling, then this marvelous meal that Joni has prepared for me and the rest of the family, I won't really be hungry for it. You know, and it won't be something that I eagerly desire. You see, hunger is good. When you sit down at the table empty, then you appreciate that this is the place to be filled. And so I'm going to try to withhold that temptation to get full before the meal. I pray that every one of us this morning is empty so that we can be filled. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.